About 1 in every 12 Americans suffers from an autoimmune disease where the body, acting on misread signals, literally starts to destroy itself. These illnesses have more than doubled in the past 3 decades, and according to my guest, Donna Jackson Nakazawa, can be directly tied to environmental factors. Donna Jackson is the author of a new book called The Autoimmune Epidemic, Bodies Gone Haywire in a World Out of Balance, and The Cutting-Edge Science that Promises Hope. In addition to writing, she lectures on family, health, and life issues and has appeared on National Public Radio and ABC News. Morning, Donna.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, why would we have autoimmune diseases doubling, maybe tripling, in the past few decades? Would it be possibly that we're just better at diagnosing these, or is there something else going on?
Well, a lot of scientists around the world have been asking that question, and what they've come up with is that the kinds of rising rates that we're seeing cannot be attributed to better diagnostics alone. That is a factor, but these numbers are too high. And what they're looking at in labs from Harvard to Johns Hopkins is the fact that we seem to have outpaced ourselves in our evolutionary ability to keep up with all the new array of toxins and chemicals and shifts in our diet and our stress levels that we've added into everyday modern life.
Let's start with stress. Now, why in the world would stress, which is something that, of course, us human beings have had going back to the beginning of time when we had large animals wanting to eat us for dinner, why would stress be an issue now in modern times when perhaps it wouldn't be have been thousands of years ago? The fight-flight response, is it out of whack in modern America?
Well, a lot of people at Johns Hopkins have been looking very closely at this and at the National Institute of Health. And what it seems to be is that in the old days we had fight or flight, as you say. You know, the caveman came out of the cave and the tiger attacked and the caveman fought or he flew away. Today we have what people term a kind of everyday barking dog syndrome, which is it's as if we're living like cats with dogs barking at us all day long. And I think everyone can relate to that idea that you're late for this, you're running to get your child, you need to get something to your mother who's in a home, and so on and so forth, and the deadline that you stay up till midnight to meet. Well, this causes a kind of prolonged level of slow-drip cortisol through your system. It's neither fight nor flight. It's a kind of new phenomenon, and that can indirectly stimulate autoimmune reactivity. Stress hormones and chemicals travel to the immune system through the bloodstream and nerves, and they can dramatically alter how our immune cells work. So that low-grade everyday stress is very different from the fight or flight that we're used to thinking about.
Mm-hmm. So just having all that stuff going on constantly in the background wears down my immune system, so when the real thing comes along, I'm not prepared to fight it. Is that what you're saying?
Well, when cortisol keeps being pumped out because of these daily anxieties and stressors, we stop producing sufficient cortisol to signal the immune response to turn off when it's supposed to. So to use an analogy, you might think of a car where the gas is on, and let's say if you keep your foot on the pedal in the down position for, let's say, 4 out of 5 hours, let's say there was a problem with your car where that fifth hour you couldn't pull the gas pedal back up. That's kind of what we're doing to our immune systems, and it increases the likelihood that the immune system will go into erratic overdrive, which is pretty much what autoimmune disease is. The immune system should not be attacking your body. It should stop, But in an autoimmune disease, it doesn't stop. It's like a car where it's all gas, no brakes, and that can be affected by that slow drip dull effect.
Let's talk about some of the specific diseases. I've been told by a neurologist that for some reason here in the greater Salt Lake City area, we have a huge kind of cell of MS for some reason, and nobody seems to know why that would be the case. Some guessing about gene pool, or maybe something to do with what's going on in the environment. What do we know about what's going on with the MS rate around the country?
Well, MS rates have been rising all over the world. Some of the best work comes out of Scandinavia. But different journals all over the world have been reporting rising rates of MS. There are a number of MS clusters that are related to different toxic areas, some of them more well-known than others. I'm not aware of one in your area per se, but we do know that in addition to shifts in the way we're handling stress in modern life, we've introduced 80,000 chemicals into our environment in the last 100 years, and we have done no testing about whether or not they harm the human immune system, at least in terms of from the chemical industry side. In the lab, we can see very clearly that a number of chemicals do cause the body to turn on itself. We also know through occupational studies of people who work in particular industries that they are more likely to die of autoimmune disease than are people who do not work in those industries. So some of it may be related to some of the industry in the area, or to certain exposures or possible toxic waste sites. Because genetics alone can't really explain it, since our genetics have not appreciably changed.
It's 10 minutes before 10 o'clock, and we're talking with Donna Jackson Nakazawa, author and lecturer. We're talking about her book, The Autoimmune Epidemic, Bodies Gone Haywire in a World Out of Balance, and the cutting-edge science that promises to hope. So in terms of the most prevalent types of diseases, the arthritises, the type 1 diabetes, lupus, MS, what's on the radar screen? You mentioned of the scientists at places like John Hopkins, where they may be able to, now that we're down to the cellular genetic level, is there hope out there for people who suffer from those sorts of diseases that at some point we may figure out how to get inside the disease and turn it off?
We're seeing tremendous progress in lupus research, where we're becoming much more able to look at what goes awry, what causes the immune system to turn on itself and begin to attack the body, and genetic differences, gatekeepers to certain genetic sequences that go awry, and how to get in and stop those, as well as some tremendously exciting research with stem cells. There is a man who wrote the foreword to my book, Doug Kerr at Hopkins, who he's been able to take paralyzed rodents and have them walk again by introducing stem cells with some other important growth hormones into lab animals. And so really exciting things. But I think we also have to ask ourselves what we're doing in our own personal lives. We want to really be clear about the exposures that we do have, since we know that there are many things out there which are autogenic. In other words, they can cause the immune system to attack itself. And in the foods we eat, diet can have a tremendous impact on how our immune system functions, in addition to how we process everyday stress. So in addition to looking at the next best drug down the pike, I think we have to look at what we're doing every minute of every day.
So on a day-to-day level, say on the diet level, what are the sorts of things that people ought to be thinking about? What are some of the prescriptions that they'll read about in the book?
one of the most important things we can do is to move back toward a whole foods diet. If you think back to the day of the caveman, we ate whole grains, fruits, vegetables, and whatever type of protein meat one could catch. And our diet has really become more about, boxed cereal and things that come in boxes and dinner in a plastic bag. And we're moving further and further away as a society from a whole foods diet. And scientists believe that this diet has become what they call antigenic. It stimulates the immune system into overdrive. There are a lot of things in our food that our body sees as foreign, and it can cause the immune system to become more inflammatory and sometimes more autoimmune. It can be a factor for someone who may have other factors going on that could trigger autoimmunity. So we want to move toward an anti-inflammatory diet, whole foods, whole fruits, whole grains. A lot of people with autoimmune disease, they start to avoid gluten altogether. And try to think about what we're eating more like the foods that we were meant to eat. And if we just keep thinking of ourselves as moving in a stream away from where we came from in an evolutionary sense, with the chemicals we're exposed to and the stress we're under and the food we eat, and try to move back the other direction, we can do a lot of good for our own personal health.
Mm-hmm. What about the stress thing, though? How do you reduce that? I mean, a lot of people say, okay, well, exercise is good for that. But, this particular generation getting stressed on one end with kids that they've got to put through college, on the other end with parents that they've got to figure out how they've got to take care of those parents that are living a lot longer than anybody thought they were going to. And you're kind of caught in that kind of sandwich generation. How do you deal with those stressors?
Well, it's interesting you would say that. You know, there was a new report just showing that this generation, the sandwich generation, is more likely to suffer from anxiety and depression in their 40s. That's when a lot of people are diagnosed with autoimmune disease. It's the same generation that is dealing with, oh, college is coming and I need to take care of my parents. So one of the most important things is to find that quiet time away from the demands of the children and the parents and the work that is carved out and is absolutely sacred for recentering your thought process and your stress level. And I think we all know those moments when they happen. When we take a quiet moment, for someone it might be a long walk, for another person it might be yoga. Meditation has been shown to be inextricably linked to the health of the immune system. And when we have that touch point and we know we can come back to it every day, even if it's only for 10 minutes, it can be something that we use as a reference point for the rest of the day when we are caught in traffic or caught in that ice storm or rushing to get our child from one sports practice to another and still get back and finish a report that's due at 9 p.m. If we have it as a touch point and we make it a habit, you know, Aristotle said, habit is all. And I think that's really true, that if we can build a daily habit that's simple and doable and use it as a point of reference for moments when we're getting that high cortisol drip, it can do a world of good for our immune system.
It's 3 minutes before 10 o'clock, talking with Donna Jackin Nakazawa, author and lecturer who's appeared on NPR and ABC and contributed to Parade Magazine and AARP. Title of her new book, The Autoimmune Epidemic, Bodies Gone Haywire in a World Out of Balance, and the cutting-edge science that promises hope. And you're listening to KPCW Park.